If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 3:16. I know you know John 3:16, but we're going to read a few verses after that as well. So turn your Bibles, turn your iPhones to John 3:16. And as we begin this morning, let's go to God in prayer. God, truly it has been a blessing to be here this morning. God, thank you for calling us together, and thank you for the time of praise we've had, the time of communion and prayer and sharing. God, right now as we turn to your word, we beg you to speak a word to us. And God, we ask that your spirit would convict us and minister to us and comfort us and lead us. So God, give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the last week of our series, Advent Conspiracy. And as we said, Advent Conspiracy is about turning Christmas upside down, or better, right side up. We have four themes: worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. So Advent Conspiracy is really about emphasizing the best of Christmas and trying to resist the worst of Christmas. So there's a little of both, right? I love the Christmas time of year. What a wonderful time. But when we're honest with ourselves, it can also be stressful and a tough time. And so Advent Conspiracy is trying to redeem the best of Christmas and resist the negative aspects of Christmas. And so we want to worship fully. This season, we want to spend a little bit more time just slowing down, a time of spiritual renewal, a time of being in God's presence, a time of reflecting on the great themes of the gospel. We want to spend less, and that's not saying we're going to spend nothing, but just spend a little less. Resist some of the materialism and the greed and the stress of the holiday seasons. We want to give more, and isn't that one of the great things about the Christmas season? People's generosity and care for one another. So we want to emphasize that. Last week, Matt Carter led us in reflecting on giving more. It was incredible. If you missed it, it's recorded. And my own hope is that this becomes a Christmas tradition at Cordova to hear that lesson again. I had several people ask me, Mark, what are you going to do this week? And with Matt's sermon last week, which if you didn't hear it, it's spoken word poetry. And then Barry, Oh Holy Night this morning. I have a confession to make if y'all don't know this already. I really don't have any talent, right? I mean, I'm not very creative. And if you're expecting me to top that somehow, it's just not going to happen. I've had people say, hey, what about 80s style rap? That's not... Nah, Barry, stop. Stop. Just stop. But today we're going to talk about love all. So this really is, I mean, when I think about my ideal Christmas, what does your ideal Christmas look like? It is one where I'm worshiping fully, spending less, giving more, loving all. And maybe this is the first time you've gone through this series with us, and maybe you're thinking, man, just a little too late because I spent all my money before Black Friday even now, right? You can spend it all before then, and just got caught up in the worst of the season. And boy, it would have been good to have done this earlier, and I understand that very well. Two things, though. I want us to just think about, you know, we can always start changing our values, always start changing our hearts. Next year, I have a feeling we'll go through this series again. We did last year, and this is rich stuff. You know, there's a lot of things to talk about with these themes, so I have found it to be very helpful. It takes several years for Christmas in our lives to kind of get out of kilter, and it takes several years to get it back in kilter, and God is gracious. And so if you kind of find yourself in that boat, man, I wish that's how I could explain my Christmas. Well, let's start changing our hearts. Let God do that. He's gracious, and He can redeem us and redeem the season. But then the second thing, our theme today, love all, is one that we all can do no matter what. And in fact, I would say, at least in my life, and I think this is true for all of us, this is the most difficult theme of all, to love all. Now, if by love all, we just kind of had the sense of, you know, having a goodwill towards all humanity, right? Just kind of humanity in a generic sense, it's not too hard. It's not hard to love humanity. But I also think today with love all of loving every person. Every single person God brings our way. Can we show the grace and the love of God to them? And if we do that, I think we see that it can be a very difficult thing indeed. Well, God showed His love to us in Jesus Christ. And I want to read John 3:16, but I want to go on to through verse 21 as well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. God so loved the world. This word, the world, shows up throughout John. Typically it has a negative sense. The world stands opposed to God. We're to resist the world. Christ has overcome the world. And yet here we're told that God so loved the world, even that part that stands in opposition to God, that part that resists God. And this isn't some type of soft, sentimental love. He gave His Son. And so as we have spoken about this morning, as we celebrate, the Son of God became a human. Jesus Christ was born, and He lived among us. He showed us the heart of God for us. And in Jesus Christ, we see the love of God for us. We see the power of God. Jesus healed sicknesses, cast out demons. He raised the dead. Christ was rejected and humiliated and crucified. God raised Him from the dead. Jesus Christ reigns today. He's living and He reigns at the right hand of God. One day He's coming back. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. And as we say that, I think it's real easy for us to doubt. I think it's easy for us to doubt God's love and God's grace in our lives. It's that time of year, the end of the year, we begin to reflect on the past. And we reflect on what we've done. And for many of us, for all of us, as we reflect on the past, there's things that we wish were different. There's mistakes we made, decisions we made that were wrong decisions, that were hurtful decisions. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against others, and as we reflect on that, we can wonder if God truly loves us, and at the Christmas season, we remember that God does love all. He loves every one of us, and He loves us so much He gave His Son. And maybe this time of year, we can even doubt, so what? You know, what difference does one man make? One man who lived 2,000 years ago, This week was a tough one for me in the news, because every time you cut on, there's this tragedy after tragedy. The biggest one for me and Brother Hidayat, we pray for the people of Pakistan. Last count I heard of 148 people were killed, most of those children, by terrorists in a school building. And it was an act that was claimed. You know, they took responsibility for it. And we wonder, God, where are you? And what's going on in our world? What difference does one man who lived 2,000 years ago, what difference does that make? And that was just the ice tip, the tip of the iceberg. This week, locally, nationally, just a number of tragic events. We see the violence, the evil in our city. And what I think is so fascinating, as you go through and read John 3, right after verse 16, it says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. This world doesn't need condemnation. We don't need to stand up. Jesus didn't have to come to tell the world it was condemned. If we have eyes to see, don't we see that our world is condemned? John says, God so loved the world, He sent His Son, but the world loved, okay, God loved us, the world loved darkness and sin and evil and death. And so God came and He shows us His love. Jesus Christ comes to give eternal life. And in the Gospel of John, eternal life is a great, great phrase because it's not just future. We think about future, but for John, eternal life begins now. It begins right now. It's life that we can enjoy right now in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us life now that's going to extend throughout eternity. And so God calls us to embrace His love, and God calls us to believe that in this one individual, God acted decisively once for all to change everything. And so Jesus came and lived among us, and He lived differently than the world lives. He had different values than the world had. And He was crucified and rejected, and God raised Him from the dead. In other parts of the Bible, it talks about Jesus as a first fruit. And what is that? What's a first fruit? We're not farmers. Most of us aren't. But, you know, a first fruit kind of tells you what's to come. If the beginning of the harvest looks good, man, this is going to be a good harvest. And so God's doing great things in Jesus Christ, and God raised Jesus from the dead. Sin and evil and violence weren't the last word. Christ reigns, and He's going to bring about the renewal of all things. Evil and death and terrorism and senseless violence, our own sin will be defeated. And we're called to put our trust in Him, to put our hope in Him. And just as God loved all in Jesus Christ, God calls us to join this Advent conspiracy, the true Advent conspiracy, and to love all, to love radically, just as Jesus loved. So God loves us in Jesus Christ. We are told to love all. So 1 John 4, 19 through 21. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. God loves us. We're to love others. We can't love God unless we love other people. How can we love God whom we have not seen if we can't love a brother and sister whom we have seen? And I'm pretty sure the one John's talking about there isn't just that brother or sister that we love, that we get along with, that's our best buddy. God blesses us with those people, doesn't He? I mean, brothers and sisters who we can't spend enough time with, thank God for them. But I think also, at least this has been true in my life, God always brings people into our life who are just different than us, and maybe just different. And they rub us the wrong way, and Gary used to use this phrase, extra grace required. We've known those folks. We've maybe been those folks. Extra grace required. And God calls us to love them as well. To give of ourselves, the sacrifice of ourselves for them as well. And so these Advent themes really come full circle, because we can't really worship fully unless we love all. And so, to go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. We can't love God whom we have not seen if we don't love our brother or sister whom we have seen. We can't worship fully unless we love all. If we have sinned against another, we need to make that right. Or perhaps they've sinned against us and we need to forgive. The Lord's Prayer: forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. We can't expect God to be gracious and loving to us unless we are gracious and loving to others. God calls us to love all, to love every person, just as Christ has loved us. Now, it strikes me that during the Christmas season, we have great opportunities to love all. Most of us are going to be traveling, or if not traveling, seeing family. And the family holiday meal. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Love this iconic picture right here from Norman Rockwell. I don't know about you guys, but this is Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, holiday dinner. This is it right here. Everybody's so happy. Everything's perfect. Everything's going so well. And to quote a recent holiday classic, Norman Rockwell, you sit on a throne of lies. Norman Rockwell, he sits on a throne of lies. Because I'm going to tell you something, the lady in there bringing that turkey is stressed out. She's been working all morning, and she's a little behind. She can't figure out why in the world her husband didn't help her carry that thing. Look how heavy that turkey is. I mean, how can she lift that? And he's just watching, doing nothing, like always. There's a little girl up there at the top, her head sneaking through. She's been hungry the last hour. She's been complaining. She's already eaten some of the food before they even said the prayer. What's wrong with her? So there's two women talking. They're smiling, the young women. They're actually can't stand each other because they've offended each other the last three or four holiday seasons. And there's tension and there's conflict there. And there needs to be resolution. The guy between the young boy, the young lady here looking at the turkey, he's the outcast of the family. He's a misfit. He's the black sheep. In part because of some of the decisions that he's made. And he's here for the dinner with everybody else. And those two guys at the bottom, they're just wanting the thing to be over so they can go watch a football game, right? I mean, can we take a to-go plate is what they want to know. Holiday dinners. And family gatherings, and we all come back together, and there is that family member whose life is a wreck. And there are those family members who are at conflict with one another. And maybe we are the wreck or the one in conflict with one another, another family member. And people are stressed out and hungry and distracted. And so Christmas, it seems to me, is a perfect time to love all. How can we, this holiday season, be peacemakers? How can we be agents of God's reconciliation? How can we speak words of grace into the lives of people who need to hear God's grace? Perhaps we need to ask someone to forgive us. for something we have done, perhaps we need to forgive somebody else of what they've done for us. And so as we gather with family this week, as we gather with friends, what an opportunity to practically, concrete ways, visibly love all. And not just in our family, I think it's a great time right now just to reflect on in our lives. Who is it? Who is it that has hurt us that we need to talk to? Who have we hurt that we need to do that hard thing and go and apologize and try to make that right? Who is God calling us to love? He's put them in our lives, and we'd prefer that He didn't. Who's God calling us to love? How can we slow down and see the people God has placed in our lives and extend the grace of God to them? We have plenty of opportunities this holiday season to love all, but we need to realize loving all is hard work. It's hard work. I think it's easy to sing songs about love and think about love in this abstract sense, and we're going to love humanity, but to love the people God has placed in our lives, will we do that this Christmas season? So there's a classic book, Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. And there's a quote by one of the priests, Father Zosima. I love this quotation. He says, "Love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. Love in dreams is greedy for immediate action, rapidly performed in the sight of all." And isn't that right? I mean, don't we love the idea of love? We love love. And in our minds, love doesn't take very long. And love brings about world peace pretty quickly, and it's pretty easy to do. Can't we all just love? But Father Zosima says, active love is labor and fortitude. Love in action is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. And this holiday season, God calls us to love all. And He's done that for us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we see the love of God. And we see how He came and lived among us, and how He was rejected, and how He was crucified, and mocked, and humiliated, and yet God loved the world. He calls us to love one another. This is hard stuff, and God gives us His Holy Spirit to help us do that thing that we couldn't do without God, if we'll just let Him change us. And so that's the challenge for us this holiday season. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank You that You showed Your love for us in Jesus Christ. That was a hard thing to do. God, I know that there are people in our lives that You are calling us to love, and it's not easy. It's not easy because we don't want to do the things that we need to do to extend Your love and grace to them. And God, we pray that You would strengthen us, that You would give us Your boldness and courage, and that we would love. God, sometimes it's hard because we don't know what to do. We don't know the first step to take. We don't know what You're calling us to do, and I just pray, God, that Your Spirit would be at work in us, and that You'd give us Your wisdom and Your promptings, and You'd help us to follow it. And God, that You'd help us to love all. So we need Your power. We need Your leading. God, help us as we live for You this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. So in John 3:16, John tells us that there are two options. The world is condemned, and we can continue to be a part of the world And if we do, we're going to perish. The world is already perishing. The world is already condemned. Jesus Christ has come to give life. True life. And if you're not a follower of Christ, we're going to do what we always do. I go to the back. Some of our shepherds go to the back. This is one opportunity you have to say, I want to follow Christ, and we'll help.